Praise God. Let's turn in our hard-covered hymn books to number 324. Deeper and deeper. In our second week now. And so let's look at the first week as a preparation for the things that God is going to do for us this week. 324. Sing our next song. We want to pray for the camp today. Thank God for His goodness to us. And so let's do that. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You. We want to thank You. We come with thanksgiving. And we have much to be thankful for. More than we are even now can understand. And Lord, we just want to thank You for meeting us this past week in the village, in the cottage here. Watch Rock. Thank You, Lord, for the way in which Your Spirit is moving among us. We thank You for the way You're dealing with us, Lord. We welcome that. We've come to be corrected. We've come to understand what it is that you want, and then to seek grace to give you that which you desire. We pray that you'll be glorified today at the camp, that your presence will be acknowledged and honored, that you'll give us a seeking spirit, Lord. Bring us into the place where we can hear and see and receive all that you see we have need of at this time. We pray, fill us with faith for what you want to accomplish today, and put the response into our hearts that you're looking for. Bless back home, Lord, our families, our churches. We thank you, Lord, that while we're here seeking you, you're there working, answering prayer, and bringing about your will. And so, Jesus, we praise you today. We expect great things from you. Thank you for good weather. Thank you for protection. Just cover this camp with your precious blood. Watch over everyone. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, we just sang into the will, into the joy, into the love. But, you know, before you go into, you have to come out of sometimes. And that's what we want to sing about now. Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Praise God. Jesus, I come, number 233 in the same book. 233. He brings us out so he can bring us in. You've heard that before, I'm sure.
And light, Jesus, I come.
wonderful that we can come just as we are. We don't have to pretend to be something that we're not. We don't have to hide anything. We can't hide anything from God anyway. And he tells us to come unto him just as we are. Come with your bondage and your sorrow, your loss and your failure, your unrest and your arrogant pride, and your fears. Come. Jesus knows what it's like to be human. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That was very much a part of his life. And so he knows that this is part of the human experience. There will be failures. There will be sorrows. There will be losses that we endure. And he says, just come with them. Come with them. Bring them to me. Let me lift you above and bring you out. And then let me to bring you into something much better. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful that we can come today? And he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That applies to every time we come to Jesus. We'll find that he's there to receive us if we come with a humble and sincere heart. And he'll even help us to have that. Praise God. So let's come to him just as we are. Let's believe in his mercy. Let's believe that God wants to meet us today. He loves us. He wants to help us. He wants to change us. He knows what you're going through in a way that no one else can understand. And he can do something about it if we allow him to. Praise God. Out of my sickness into thy health. Let's sing that.
Out of my sickness into thy health.
Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, the Spirit says, come. Hallelujah. All that are athirst can come, drink of the water of life freely. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Glory, glory, glory. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
darkness at all, let the light of Jesus shine into your heart today. Drive away all the sorrow, all the doubt, all the fear. Hallelujah. Oh, we claim it, Lord. Jesus, let your light shine upon this meeting this morning. All of our hearts.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
One, 381. Praise God. You know, my grandmother, she used to come and visit us when we were children, and I was learning the clarinet, my brother was learning the violin, and so we always had to play for her, and she always made us play it again. We'd play the song once, and then she'd say, "Now play it again. You got to always play it two times," she would tell us. Maybe that's why I sing some of these choruses twice. But you know, she said, "You know, the first time sounds nice, but I want to hear it again." So sometimes when we sing these choruses twice, you say, "Oh, now let me pay closer attention to what I just sang." And then there's been some meetings where the Lord has led me to sing it three times. You know, it's very common that we sing a chorus twice, but when you sing it three times, that gets people's attention. They think either you're losing it or God's trying to tell me something. Could be either, but let's lean toward the latter. Okay. 381.
Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. Trying to follow Savior and King. Shaping our lives by His blessed example. Savior, upward, still upward.
know exists, we know, we feel, but it's nothing that we can touch, we can't control it, it's out of our range, but it's real. I've been very much impressed in the last few years in Proverbs 4, where it says, wisdom is the principal thing. And all you're getting, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. And I've been thinking, if wisdom is a principal thing, why don't we ever hear anybody say that? We talk about getting saved, and that's the beginning. We talk about other things in the Christian life, but I came to realize there are 5 books in the middle of the Bible called books of wisdom, and we don't pay much attention to them, and we are the weaker for it. And I'm not saying that's anything to worry about. I'm just saying, I don't think that we put much emphasis on that, and that seems to be a really, really important thing that he would say is a principal thing. And the Apostle Paul says also that he prayed for the young Christians that they would get spiritual wisdom and understanding. And I thought, I never prayed for Christians like that. I never ever prayed for them that they would get wisdom and spiritual understanding. I'm shaking a little bit because I don't know, I'm out of place or something. Anyway, I just want to pass this along because, you know, we just sang that the Lord wants to bring us into himself. And, you know, that's really the whole key of Christianity, is to come into Christ. It's not about doctrine. It's not about, you know, everything you can understand with your natural mind. Christianity is completely spiritual. It's completely intangible. And thank God for the Old Testament, which is completely tangible. Everything in the Old Testament you can understand with your natural mind. And you need that. We need a natural mind. We need natural understanding. The better we understand things naturally, that's all to our advantage. That's why we go to school, to college. That's why we keep learning. And God uses all that. But Christianity is about coming into Christ. And we have to learn how to come into him. And I'm so thankful for Pilgrim Camp because maybe that's where I learned to come into Christ. It's in our worship service when we let the Holy Spirit come into us through our praise, through our singing, through our prayers, through our testimony. That's when it's a Christ. And it grows. I've grown an awful lot since I first came to Pilgrim Camp. I've learned a lot. God has done a lot for me. I was in an accident, a 2-car accident. I'm a good driver, basically. I drove for 50 years, depending on the Lord to keep me safe. And then I got older, and I had 2 accidents, and he allowed that. I said, well, he allowed that. And I didn't get hurt, but I learned something through it. I learned something so amazing through those 2 accidents. Mm-hmm. The first one, it wasn't very serious. I bumped into the guy in front of me. It wasn't very serious. We weren't going very fast. But I had this peace. Wow. Who would think? I just had peace. Don't worry about it. Okay? So my car was totaled because I was the one that hit the front end, and my front end didn't work after that. And then I had a second accident. It was a little worse because I pulled out in front of a moving car, and it hit me. And my body was jolted, and they checked my blood pressure, and it went way up. But I had this tremendous peace. It was stronger than in the first accident. And I was amazed at that. And you know, I think the Lord showed me that we can go through things, and he's with us. He's right there. When we need him, he is right there. And that's one thing I noticed in my life through the years, that my peace has deepened. I remember when I didn't have peace, and I was in an airplane, and I just didn't have peace. And I kept trying to concentrate on that verse, let your mind be stayed upon Jehovah and he will give you peace. You know, I kept saying that verse over and over. You know, but so I remember not having peace, and now I know such a deep peace I can hardly believe it sometimes. And I just thank God that our Christian life is not stagnant, but we go deeper into Christ all the time. Nothing that we do, but it's receiving from him. It's taking in from him. And it's through our worship that it works. And a lot of Christianity is so mental. I'm not trying to say that I know a lot about a lot of churches. But I'm just saying that here at Pilgrim Camp, it's not all mental. And it's very spiritual. And that's why we get so blessed here. I haven't been with Christians in quite a while. And, you know, I haven't had regular fellowship with a spirit-filled church. So it just feels really, really great to be with spirit-filled Christians like this. I love it, and I'm just enjoying it so much. And another thing I found about Pilgrim Camp is that when I read my scriptures, I was reading verses that I know very well, but I know that they come in sharper up here. Somehow the Bible comes in, and that's the Spirit of God. He's here. He's intangible, but he's working all the time. And we have to learn how to just sort of step back and say, Jesus, have your way with me. It's not that hard to do that, but you certainly have to learn how to do it. Jesus, have your way. I give myself to you. I trust you. He gave us a wonderful word one time by tongues and interpretation. And I took it personally. I think it also applies to if we're in any kind of ministry too, but I don't have charge of a ministry, so I take it personally. He said, let me work by believing that I am working. Trust that he's working in you. Trust. Believe it. Thank him. You don't have to feel it. When I was in Bowling Green, I was in charge of meetings down there. And such sweet people. I just love them. And I said to them, two things. I said, well, no sinner is worse than any other sinner. We're all sinners. And I said, we don't have to be a large group in order for God to come to us. We're two or three together. And we were a very small group. And yet there was the Lord, and his presence was there with us. And we kept taking in. And I just learned, every way the Lord has led me, I just kept learning and getting more understanding. And I'm surprised how he helps me to understand things. I'm really surprised. So often I understand things. But I think it is because Brother Gordon Gardner, who was the founder of this, not the founder, but you know, he was the first director of this camp, and I was under him for many years. He said we could pray that prayer that Paul said he prayed for the early Christians. You could pray it yourself. Give me spiritual understanding. So I began to pray that way. So I think I'm reaping what I sowed. I heard that I could do that, and I did that. And understanding isn't something that shines out of you necessarily, or nobody knows you have it, you know. But I know I have it. What I have, I'm not saying I understand a lot of things. There are a lot of things I don't understand. I'm just surprised at what I do understand. And I know what I do understand is from the Lord. And God is truth. And I don't want to take too much time. Can I take another minute?
Sure.
I've been so amazed at the chapter in the Bible, 1 Kings chapter 13. I'll just give you the tiniest gist of that chapter. It's about a prophet from Israel, Judah, province of Judah, was sent up into the other area, Israel, with a message for the king, Jeroboam, up there. And he had a message, and the Lord told him what to say to Jeroboam, and then he said, don't eat or drink anything, but just go right back home. So it was a simple message, and he did it very effectively. He did exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. And then Jeroboam said, oh, you did a great job. Come to my house and you can have some refreshment. He said, no, the Lord said I shouldn't eat or drink any place. And so he left, started home. And then someone else got wind of this and said, oh, I'd like to know this prophet. And it was another man who was a prophet up in Israel. And he said, tell my son, I want him to come. I'm a prophet too. And so this prophet from Judah went and ate and drank with another prophet. And then the Lord spoke through that other prophet and says, because you did not obey my word, you won't make it home to your father's sepulcher. You won't get home to your own sepulcher. And I have pondered that. You have to read it for yourself, because I'm just giving you the bare bones of it. But I've read that so many times because that's a puzzling chapter to me. But it shows you something. And he had the Word of God, but he did not cleave to the Word of God. That prophet from Judah wandered away from the Word of God. He was tested by Jeroboam, and he passed that test. When he was tested again, he gave in. We need the Word of God. That's what's so important about that chapter. I think that chapter is all about how important the Word of God is to each one of us personally. We have to cleave to the Word of God. And we have it here, but you can take it home with you in your Bible. And I just felt impressed I should say something this morning, because I've received so much from the Lord, and I have had so many blessings. I just want to honor him and share what he has given to me. So I thank God for his great grace. I thank him for so much, and I know you do too. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for Sister Nora, Lord, and the years that she has given herself for your service. And even now as she works in the village, we pray that you would continue to bless her, continue to give her wisdom and understanding in all things. We thank you, Lord, that what we heard is true, and we desire to do that for each one of us, to give us understanding, speak to us through your word, and we praise you for that, and we ask you to continue to do that. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
Amen.
Number 73 in our white book. May the mind of Christ, my Savior. Just before we sing, a lady came to our church, and she told me that she has a friend in another church whose husband has really gotten off into strange doctrine. She wanted me to talk to him. And she said that he had come and spoken to the pastor of our church, and when he left, he told his wife, the pastor doesn't know the Bible like he does. I wasn't too anxious to talk to him. I prayed. I said, well, if he wants to talk to me, then let him call me. I don't want to impose myself on him. And so one day I got a call, and the wife put the husband on the phone. He was a very nice man, very pleasant. He wanted to talk, Had very strange ideas of the Bible. The Bible was only written for white men. That was his first premise. And then the Jews are not real Jews, and the real Jews are these people. And he just talked about one thing after another. And I said, you know, I said, how does any of what you're telling me help me to live closer to God and walk with him? Well, he didn't really have an answer for that, because nothing that he was telling me helps me get closer to God and do his will and know Jesus better and love him more. And so he went on then and began to pick up on some other things and question me about some things. What do you believe about this? And it was all doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. It was all natural understanding and natural misunderstanding. And so I ended the conversation. I said, you know, this really doesn't interest me. This is not Christianity to me. This is not what the Bible's all about. The Bible's given to us to help us to know God and his will and to come to live in Christ and so on. And so we ended rather nicely. And his wife called me or texted me sometime later. Thank you very much for talking to my husband. Very concerned about him. And I said, you know, after speaking with him, I thought of the verse, as the serpent has beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so I fear that your mind has been corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. And I see that a lot. There are people that love to talk doctrine. They love to argue doctrine. They love to study the Bible just to fill their natural mind with all this information. But it never translates into helping me to know Jesus better and walk with God and do his will. And so there's a lot of natural understanding, but as we heard, it has to be illumined by the Holy Ghost and translated into our hearts, our lives. And so we want to be careful about that. Some people just love to study, and they have a mind for that. They're very intellectual. But don't let that get in the way of your heart. Yes, we need natural understanding, first of all. But then we need to pray, Lord, now, what is it that you're saying to me, and how can this help me to walk with God? Brother Gardner, one time, he said he was on vacation, and he went to a church, as he would like to do on a Sunday, If he's on vacation, he finds a church to attend. And he said, that meeting, the man, all he did was talk about Israel, the nation of Israel, and how big the oranges are in Israel. And it's just wonderful. God is making it a fruitful place, the barren field. And he went on and on. And he said when he came home, he said, now how is any of that going to help the people to live for Jesus that week? And he was trying to help us as young men, maybe training for ministry, to understand that we've got to give people the Word of God to help them. That's the goal, to help them to serve God and to walk with Him and to surrender themselves to Him and so on. And it doesn't matter how big the oranges are in Israel, that's not going to do you much good unless you like oranges, I guess. But, there's a spiritual understanding that only comes by waiting on God and looking to the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need to occupy ourselves with and believe God for. Okay, so let's sing that song. Number 73 in our white book.
May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day. By His love and power controlling all I do and say. May the Word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that
God.